Greetings, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's episode of the International Mastermind Association's special six-part blog talk series on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. You're joining us for part two of this extremely amazing series. I'm your host and ultimate success coach, Havila Malone, here, and we have our amazing Mastermind Alliance guests who will be joining us for this call as we go through and share with you the secrets to creating wealth and the 12 riches of life. And so today you're joining us for part two, where we're actually going to go through how to overcome the seven basic fears. Yes, you definitely want to remove those limitations. Also benefit from the law of increasing returns and master salesmanship. Yes, we're always selling. And when we talk about Napoleon Hill, we are so pleased to be able to bring you his personal philosophy of success through the series on Your Right to Be Rich. And Napoleon Hill's work has really touched the lives of countless thousands of people through his lectures, through his teachings, through his writings. And one of his most famous books, and one that you may be familiar with, is his Think and Grow Rich, who has created more millionaires, and with his personal philosophy for success. And as we're able to present these 17 principles through this six-week series, well, we were so pleased to be able to do that. And Napoleon Hill was able to have friendships with and association with some of the turn-of-the-century business leaders, including Henry Ford, Thomas Edison, Harvey Firestone, Theodore Roosevelt, Alexander Graham Bell. These are names that you know of, that you've heard of, because they have literally shaped American history and really the history of the world. And through his contact with these individuals, he was able to pull out their secrets of how they attained their success. And so we want to be able to present these secrets to you so that you can apply them within your own life and achieve your ultimate success as well. So without any further ado, I want to introduce to you our Mastermind Alliance guests who are going to be part of this discussion today, and that is Ms. Ann McNeil, who we all know and love. She is the International Mastermind Association's founder. She also has founded MCO Consulting, MCO Construction, who has a combined assets of over $110 million, so you know she's applying these principles and making them work in her life. And she is also a local and nationally acclaimed speaker who really is about that work-life balance based off of those principles that Napoleon Hill teaches. She's been featured on ABC News as well as in USA Today and Black Enterprise, and so we're really excited to be able to have her as a part of this mastermind discussion. And we have joining us Ms. Sandra Richardson, who is of the Rich Consulting Firm, who is all about their existence, all about paying it forward as an inspirational growth instructor, who has achieved some amazing success throughout her career and breaking records within Fortune 500 companies and being able to be the flagship and model organization for many of her counterparts in the industry, and now working with individuals to be able to help them to achieve their greatest goals in life. And definitely we're so excited to have back with us for this series Ms. Hillary Vargas, who is a life coach, motivational speaker, and youth mentor. She's the founder of Ms. Hillary's Kids Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that really supports and empowers young people who have learning disabilities or behavior challenges or who are from rough, underprivileged backgrounds. And she helps them to reach their highest potential, because no matter where you're from, no matter what circumstances you've had to deal with, you can achieve anything that you can believe and conceive. And that's based off of Napoleon Hill's principle and something that is very much a part of her organization and things that she does with them. And, of course, I am your host for this series. I am a television host, a number one best-selling author, and ultimate success coach, and I'm so pleased to be able to present to you Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich, the Blog Talk Radio series. So welcome, ladies, to the call.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So excited to be back now for part two of this really exciting series. Last week we got an opportunity to talk about that definiteness of purpose, really, you know, understanding and knowing what it is that you want out of life, having that burning desire and going for those things and really creating a plan of action to be able to set those things in motion and starting exactly where you are. And then using other people's power through that mastermind alliance, and we know how important that is to, you know, come together in a spirit of harmony and really be able to harness the education, the resources, the information of other people to help you accomplish a greater purpose. And this week, ladies, we're going to be jumping into the principles on applied faith, going the extra mile, and that pleasing personality, how that is the master to salesmanship. So I definitely want to start with how do you get the things that you want? How do we use the applied faith? And what exactly is applied faith? So Anne, you want to start with that one? And while we're getting Anne on the line, so that applied faith.
Absolutely, Havila. Thank you. I'm sorry. As I began to apply the principles from the book, Thinking for Rich by Napoleon Hill, he actually led me back to the book, which is my favorite book, and I began to read a proverb a day along with my Think and Grow Rich, which began to strengthen my faith, because through reading Napoleon Hill's book on faith, I realized and I began to learn that faith without works is dead. And so I began to adopt a philosophy personally that said that I work like it all depends on me, but I pray and have faith like it all depends on God. And so to take that and mix it with my definite chief purpose, and of course my purpose, going back to the previous show, was to save $1,000. And so I utilized the faith principle from the book and from Napoleon Hill to actually put my faith into action. Thank you.
Excellent. And so when we talk about faith, faith is no more than a state of mind. It's a guidance. So that principle is all also about guiding you to be able to accomplish your greatest goals, your greatest principles. When we talk about applied faith, as Anne you just so eloquently mentioned, it's about taking action. It's about putting the pedal to the metal. It's about, you know, moving forward with your plans. And that's how you are applying your faith, is through that action. And so, Hillary or Ms. Sandra, what do you all have to add to that applied faith and how you have seen this bring about accomplishment or bring about, success?
Hi, Havila. Thank you so much. I think applied faith is one of the most important principles, because as you do your purpose, as you have clarity, as we spoke last week, then the implementation of believing that you can do it, which can be transmitted to faith, is so important. In particularly in my case, I went off to school, got my degrees, had a career, and then I found my purpose, my true purpose and my calling, and that was to start a nonprofit and really follow the calling of educating and empowering and mentoring youth from underprivileged backgrounds. And as you can all imagine, that really wasn't easy, because a lot of people discouraged me and there was a lot of uncertainty. So for me, particularly at that moment, I had two choices: to either quit on what I knew I had to do or just increase my dose of faith. And it's kind of like how I teach my youth, is that I think within us, we all have a dose of faith, a belief. And sometimes at that moment of trial, we need to updose it. So we needed to add a little bit more. And for me, the implementation of faith is so important on a daily basis, because on a daily basis there's going to be challenges, there's going to be obstacles, there's going to be things with your family, with your friends, with society, with so many things. But I see, you know, like Napoleon Hill says, if you can do it, you can do it if you believe you can. And as long as you believe you can, and as long as you have that faith installed in you that, yes, I can do this through the obstacles, through the storms, then there will always be a rainbow at the end of it. And so I think it's so important. This, by far, I think is one of the most crucial principles. And one of the most important things is to carry out the faith throughout your whole journey. It's not that, you know, once you're successful, once you reach that goal, that you lose your faith. I think this is implemented in your personal life, in your relationships, in your professional, in your purpose. And I think this is one that if every single human being had, then there is no other option to, if there's no other option that you will give up. You would just continue on because you know you have your faith, you know you have implemented it, and you know you believe in what you are meant to do, but also in yourself. Thank you.
Hi again, this is Sandra. For me, it was watching nature when it came to applied faith, looking at the portion of it that discusses how you can connect with infinite intelligence by watching nature. For instance, for me, it's just like going outside on a clear day, evening, I should say, and looking up and looking at the starry heavens. And when you connect like that, you know, your mind becomes expanded and more open, and you come to some level of thought where you say, you know, if this infinite intelligence can create all of this that you're looking at, which is mind-boggling, then why couldn't we conclude that if he made all of this, or infinite intelligence is responsible for all of this, was certainly, and then responsible for us, was certainly it would not put limitations upon us as opposed to what we can achieve in life. In fact, anything that we want to achieve, and also watching nature to see how unselfish nature is. So following the principles of infinite intelligence and applying applied faith, which is action, then it's the only way you'll be able to become what you were designed to actually become, and that is to become great, to be a person who is bigger than anything around you. And so for me, that's exactly what it was, and I actually was able to be able to use that in my personal life to have not only apply this faith for myself, but apply it outside of myself to other individuals that I would encounter in my family, outside of my family, friends, or what have you. It helps me to see the greatness in everybody. And so it helps me with my attitude or my viewpoint of the individual that's actually standing before me, whether they recognize their power or not. I can recognize it because of where we all originate from. And so that applied faith, again, I agree with Hillary. It is certainly one of the most important ones. And the only way that you can do something to interfere with that infinite intelligence actually working synergistically with you is if you entertain limited beliefs. And when you have those limited beliefs, then now you're kind of Xing yourself out or eliminating yourself in the process of actually achieving success. So you have to connect with that infinite intelligence, and how you connect with that infinite intelligence, one of the ways for me was to watch nature, because we all came from that one cause. And so that was very, very helpful and beneficial for me in my personal life. And I've been applying those things up until this point and this day, and I'm seeing the growth. I'm seeing my brain actually explode, and I'm enjoying that.
And you know what? It was such a beautiful point that Napoleon Hill made, and a mindset that he carried, which was, there isn't anything in the world that I want that I don't have or that I can't get easily. It's like to be able to have that, you know, level of confidence and that level of mindset that there's nothing in which I cannot achieve. And Napoleon Hill didn't have any, you know, special talent or special ability or, you know, anything that any other human being on this planet, anything that you, that I, or that any of us do not have, but he had control of his own mind, control of his own mental abilities, which we all have. And so many times as we are pursuing a goal that we have a desire, we have a dream, what a lot of people will fall prey to, and I am just as much a part of that as well in certain areas, and which is why I'm glad that I now have these principles for success because I can apply them to overcome that. But it's those fears. It's those seven basic fears that Napoleon Hill outlined about, and those fears of the fear of poverty or the lack of or not having the means that you need to be able to survive, the fear of criticism. You know, people always worried about, you know, well, what will other people think of me? And if I, you know, if I leave this job to pursue my own business, or if I, you know, try to step into this bigger role within this company, you know, what are people going to think? You know, what's my family going to think? What are my friends going to think? You know, people are so fearful of the criticism of others. Also, the fear of ill health, you know, and not having all of your vitality and the energy that you need, or the fear of the loss of love. Like, will I lose this person if I pursue my dream or if I pursue my passion? There's also the fear of old age. You know, people feel like time is just slipping away from themselves. And so, like, why even get started when, you know, I'm getting older and, you know, what's the point? Or there's also the fear of the loss of liberty, which may not be as big a fear here in the United States, but there are definitely parts of the world who do have that fear of that loss of liberty. And last and certainly not least, that seventh fear, which is the fear of death, you know. And so these fears a lot of times cripple people from taking the needed action, from applying their faith and moving forward towards their goals. And so we definitely want to take a moment to be able to share with people how they can overcome and conquer these fears so that there is nothing inhibiting them or nothing in their path to be able to move forward towards their success. So, ladies, some of your thoughts on conquering those fears based off of Napoleon Hill's principle.
Well, Havila, this is Ann McNeil, and I would like to go first and just thinking about the question and thinking about an example in my life, and I'd like to share a quick story from our mastermind group. I shared a previous show that we started meeting every Saturday morning at 7 a.m., a group of 10, and we would rotate homes. And we would walk through the steps that it would take us to achieve our desired goal. And each week, each of us had to give an account for what did we do that week toward the goal. So my fear was, and I didn't realize it was actually a fear, but my fear was actually taking the license, the general contractor's exam from the state of Florida in order to qualify my business. It was actually a fear. So every week I would, you know, I would give my goal, and the lady would ask me, okay, well, what are you going to do? So I said, would say, you know, well, I'm going to pass it, you know, I'm going to get my license. And so one particular day, this particular masterminder was very angry with me, very, very angry with me. And she said to me, you know, what are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? Take a class. Sign up to take the test. And my point is this, in the fear, oftentimes, and we hear this, that fear is that false evidence appearing real. But when you have an accountability group, when you write that goal down and you write the fear down on paper and you look at it as it begins to look back at you, you realize that by faith, there really is nothing to fear. But I had to move on the faith that I claimed to have had and take the first step. Because oftentimes, for me in that example, I wanted to get the license. But I wanted to skip over all of the steps that it took to get the license, which means signing up to take the class. First of all, getting the money to sign up to take the class, buying the books, actually going to class, actually doing my homework, actually studying. not just for days and weeks and months, but for years. Because what would happen every time I took the test, I failed by 2 points. I failed by 1 point. I failed by 3 points. I failed by 1 point. I had to take it again. So it literally took me years to finally pass that test. But the fear naturally began to go away the more I prepared myself to conquer that fear. So that's just an example of for many of us, whatever we're fearing, write it down. Align yourself with a group of people who are like-minded and like-spirited that can help you overcome the fear. And I also began to align myself with other people who had taken the test and who had passed the exam. So that's just one small story about how in my life I was able to conquer the fear with my faith to pass that exam. Thank you.
Excellent. And it really is about being able to take control of your own mind, because that is the one thing that we do have the ability to control. Like everyone may be trying to control, you try to control other people and make them stop doing this or to start doing that or to control like circumstances or environment. And the ability and the birthright that we have been given is that of controlling our own mind. And it's such a beautiful thing about that, because you can decide what it is that you want. It's so important, we spoke about last week about having that definite major purpose. What do you want? Because that allows you to align your mind and focus your thoughts on that purpose. And so if you keep your mind trained on and centered on the thing that you want and not, divert your attention to the things that you don't want. And it will take training if this is something that you're not used to doing, because your thoughts will start to move back towards those fears or those feelings of lack. But you have to continually refocus your mind on what it is that you want. And if you keep your mind in that direction, then you will eventually, where it becomes easier, and that's the only direction in which your mind goes. And your state of mind really is everything, and you have control over that. And Sandra and Hillary, if you all have something to add to that, because I know that you all have used this, applied faith or this action of moving forward towards goals, and being able to overcome or conquer fears to be able to accomplish things even within your own lives.
Yes, I wanted to add to that, Havala, thank you. I think fear is something that it is a behavior that we learned. We're not born with fear, because when you're a baby, you have no fear. We're like fearless, right? So you walk, you play, and then throughout the course of life, we learn fear of like the principles of the Pony Hill talks. And, I think that we all have general fears of, of work, of fulfilling our purpose, of all that. But one of the biggest important fears that I had to overcome, and I kind of overcome it on a daily basis, is the fear, the third basic fear, which is the fear of ill health, because I was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis when I was 18 months old, which is a disease of the bones. So growing up, on the top of the fact that I knew I wanted to be successful, I had all these plans, and I kind of felt like a prisoner in my own body, where my mind is telling me do and my body's saying no. And so that was one of the biggest fears that I really had to overcome, the fact that I couldn't be a victim, and I decided to be a victorious person in this world to accomplish my purpose. And I think many times with fear, sometimes we forget that our own personal lives can really reflect in our professional life or in our purpose, and that it's okay to say, it is scary. And, on a daily basis, it's kind of a fight, right? And, I had to decide, I want to walk. I want to do this. I want to travel. And I think it's so important to just keep a positive mindset, to know that sometimes fear, I look at it sometimes as a blessing. If you don't call it fear and you transmit it as maybe I'm going through this obstacle because I want to learn something from it. There's a lesson from it. And so, many people suffer from a lot of illnesses, from a lot of things that go on in personal life. And one of the biggest things that I do in my organization with our youth is we discuss these things. We discuss depression. We discuss suicide thoughts. We discuss illnesses. We discuss, you know, things that you've overcome or things that you've seen maybe loved ones see. And I think that that's so important to have that victorious mindset that, yes, I can do this. I can overcome fear, because part of being a human being is that we're going to encounter these things on a daily basis, not only within us, but also with those around us. And so implementing faith, knowing that you can do it, knowing that you're unstoppable, and just knowing that you're meant on this world for greatness, and implementing that on a daily basis goes such a long way. That, and also having a mastermind alliance. I think having a support group, having people around you that encourage you, as I am blessed to have, you know, three beautiful women on the line right now, where we encourage each other weekly, where they ask me, how's your organization? And we talk on a regular basis. That helps you to keep on going, to overcome the fear, because it's like, but wait, there's people that believe in me. And that will help you to not let the fear overcome you and stop you. Because I feel like if we let our fear overcome us, it's like a disability. And you have the choice whether you let it stop you or you just say, you know what, I'm going to become victorious over this and push forward. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about that, because I think that sometimes as humans, we need to remember that we're human beings, and sometimes we have personal stuff. We might have illnesses, and it's okay to talk about it, and it's okay to say, you know what, I need the strength right now to continue on. Thank you.
Absolutely. And you're listening to the International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio series, a special series on Napoleon Hill, Your Right to Be Rich, as over the next 6 weeks, we are covering the 17 principles that will help you to achieve ultimate success in your life. I'm your host for the series, Havilah Malone, and we have with us our Mastermind Alliance guest, Ms. Ann McNeil, Ms. Hillary Vargas, and also Ms. Sandra Richardson. And if you want more information about the International Mastermind Association, you can find out at www.internationalmasterminders.com. You can also follow us on Facebook or on Twitter. And as we're going through these principles, as we were just talking about, that applied faith, and that faith really is a state of mind, but when you apply it, you're putting it to action. And if you're really looking to be able to benefit from the law of increasing returns, yes, you want to be able to get more than you even give, then you're going to have to actually go the extra mile. So that's the principle we're going to be discussing right now, is going the extra mile and rendering more and better service than you're being paid for with a positive mental attitude. Now, maybe you'll be saying, well, why should I go the extra mile? Why should I, you know, do more than I'm being paid for? And this is really a very important principle to Napoleon Hill's personal philosophy for success, because you literally have the ability to create opportunities and write your own ticket when you go the extra mile. Because for the most part, if you look at people around you, especially look in the customer service industry, look at different industries, there are people who aren't even going the first mile. So this gives you an opportunity to truly stand out above the rest and write your own ticket when you're going the extra mile. So ladies, definitely jump into this principle, because I know you guys are excited about this one. We've talked about this on several different occasions, especially Ms. Sandra, because you have used this so many times to be able to accomplish some really great things. So talk us a little bit about going the extra mile and why people should even want to do it. And as we're getting Ms. Sandra on the line, Ms. Hillary, Ms. Ann, I know you all have some great things to add to that as well.
Well, I think that for going to the extra miles in anything that you do, Napoleon Hill talks about it, and he's a perfect example. When Andrew Carnegie saw in him his potential, Andrew Carnegie at the time was the wealthiest person, and he said, you're going to do this research, you're going to write this book, and you will be successful, but you're going to have to do it for free for 20 years. And talk about going the extra mile for 20 years. Most people wouldn't even do anything without getting paid something. And it's such a perfect example because sometimes we are we're kind of taught growing up, don't do anything unless you get paid. Don't stay the extra hour. Don't be the one to say, well, if you need help, let me be the one to help you. But I think, like Napoleon Hill says, it doesn't go ever unnoticed. And that's what helps you to get promotion. That's what helps the universe to conspire in your favor to see that, wow, you know, this person is volunteering to do this in her extra time without expecting anything in return. And I think that that's the most beautiful blessing that you can give, is give without expecting anything in return, because nothing ever goes unnoticed. And when it's your time to receive, you will receive in abundance. Thank you.
Yeah, and you want to make yourself as near indispensable as possible. Say if you're in a situation right now where you are working in a job and your aspiration is to either move up or to get promotion, as Ms. Hillary talked about, when you go the extra mile, when you do more and you render even better service and you do it out of your own walk to do it, you do it not when somebody asks you to do something or when somebody's telling you, okay, this is what you need to do, but you do it and you do it with a great attitude, with a positive mental attitude, it literally sets you apart. It takes you out of the rat race and puts you on a whole nother level. And this will be able to, it gets to the point where you don't even have to ask for things anymore because people see the effort that you put forth. They see how valuable you are, and they want to be able to give you more responsibility, to give you more opportunities, and you get to create those opportunities for yourself. And say if your aspiration is to then, you know, go into business for yourself, then the favors or the credit that you're building up with people, because when you go the extra mile, don't just do it in your job situation, but do it at home. Do it with your family. Do it with strangers. Do it with each and every individual that you encounter, and you will find that you'll benefit from that law of increasing returns. And I know, Anne, I know you are all about that law of increasing returns, so why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, thank you, Havila. I think also when you think about the law of increasing return, I like to think about the law of increasing return as it relates to money. And when you think of money, the law of increasing return suggests that if you do a little over a long period of time, it will compound itself, the money will. And so the law of increasing return that we are applying with the philosophy as espoused by Napoleon Hill in his book, Think and Grow Rich, is the philosophy of utilizing your time and having it compound over time in terms of the investment that we make in ourselves in the service to others. So go back to the money. We want to make money and put a little bit of money in an investment. Let's use that as an example. But what happens over a long period of time, we keep putting that money in, we start seeing the money grow. Well, for us as we mastermind, and I'll just use myself, I did not realize that by reading the book, this book led us to read other books in other areas of our lives. And by reading other books in other areas of our lives, whether it was a magazine or article or whatever it was, over a long period of time, we begin to grow exponentially, going back to the compounding of the time. And the growth then allowed us to then share that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding with our family members and our friends. And even sometimes they begin to see us change and begin to be impacted by that change. And so going the extra mile has a lot of connotations when you just think about outside the box thinking and how you can be rewarded for doing a little that grows into a lot. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And that law of increasing returns is really about you getting back more than you even give out. And it's an automatic law. It's one of the universal laws, and it works in both directions. So if you're putting out good, then you're going to receive that back in abundance. If you're putting out bad, then guess what? You're going to receive that back in abundance as well. And so when people say, oh, my goodness, like when it rains, it pours, yeah, it's because of that law of increasing returns. And so you want to make sure that it is coming back to you in the direction in which you really want it, which is why it's so important for you to keep your mind trained on the direction in which you want to go, and for you to continually move yourself forward in going the extra mile and offering, you know, better service and being better in relationships, because it not only is going to be of benefit to other people, but it also is a benefit to you because you feel good. You know, there have been times when, you know, I had the opportunity to be able to help somebody. You know, whether it's even something as simple as, you know, offering to babysit for them, you know, and not because they asked, but because, like, oh, you know what, you want to just give them an opportunity to take a break, you know, to do something like that. And it's like you feel good about being able to help somebody in that way. It's like it's going the extra mile, whether it's in your business, in your personal relationships, you know, in any and every aspect of your life, you can use this principle, and you're going to benefit from it. And sometimes you're not going to get the return from the same person that you gave, you know, the extra to, or that you rendered that service to, but it's going to come back to you because it's one of the laws of nature. So we want to be able to take advantage of that law, you know, within our lives. And I know that you ladies are definitely doing that.
Yeah. This is Sandra. Thank you once again. I briefly want to talk about this particular principle because I see it as an indispensable principle that we must learn how to actually master. In Scripture, there's a couple of passages there that we can call an intelligent, infinite intelligence. We can call it a supreme being. We can call it whatever we want to. But the thought is, it says, there's more happiness in giving than there is in receiving. And then added to that, it says that this power, this energy, this infinite intelligence, that it is happy. And so after reading that, spending a little time on those two, let's see, well, what does that actually mean? How is he the happiest? Well, because of the scripture said, because he gives the most. No one has given more than that infinite intelligence or that power. And so when we emulate that in our lives, we become the recipient of a very common effect that comes from happiness. You really do have an inner peace and happiness in knowing that you do give. And you know, the payoff is that you become happy. And you don't pick and choose your people. That's what I like, what I've learned about reading these principles, particularly this particular one, going the extra mile. You don't pick your people in terms of who do you decide to be giving to in terms of deservingness. I want to say that because you want to do it within reason. But overall, your motive is to be kind and giving to all. And I found in one particular area of life where this becomes most important is in customer service. And we can extend customer service apart from any employment and even use the same principle when we're dealing with our family. And, you know, when we're dealing with people, customers on the phone, intelligent people do their best to provide what it is that person needs. But now maybe you got a person who is obstinate, irate, or whatever, then you don't get into that because you have a goal, you have a purpose, and your goal and your objective is that when that call is concluded, that you've done your best to actually provide what that person needs and do your best to do some decompression if that's possible. But at the end of the day, when that call is over, you know that you've done your best to try to give and supply that person with what they needed despite themselves. And so I love that because you actually set up a state of mind that does not limit you to express these things to the person perhaps that you feel like you got something to gain from. And so that makes a pleasing person. That's a pleasing person. That's a very pleasing personality and characteristic of a human being when you can genuinely see that this person is a person who is honest and true to what you know what they're trying to accomplish with me. And you can de-escalate a situation just by applying these principles of going the extra mile and not limit it to employment, but bring it into the home and also with friends.
Absolutely. You know, the successes and failures in life are really over the small things, and that's where really why people miss them. It's the small things that really count. And so when you take the time to go the extra mile, you're going to benefit even from that law of contrast because most people aren't even going the first mile. So you will stand out, you'll be able to create opportunities and really and truly be able to write your own ticket and benefit from that law of increasing return. So this is a great discussion on that going the extra mile, which is one of the principles of 17 success philosophies, principles from Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. And you're listening to the International Mastermind Association's special Blog Talk Radio Show. This is part two of a six-part series, and we definitely encourage you to join us over these next 6 weeks as we discuss all 17 of Napoleon Hill's principles that are going to help you to achieve your ultimate success and really be able to take advantage of those 12 riches of life. And if you want more information about the International Mastermind Association, you can get that at www.internationalmasterminders.com. You can also like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And we're here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, bringing you the special series all the way through till March 14th. So we're so glad that you have the opportunity to join us. I'm your host for this series, Havilah Malone, and we're talking with our special Mastermind Alliance guest, Ms. Hillary Vargas of the Hillary's Kids Foundation, Ms. Ann McNeil, founder of the International Mastermind Association, and Ms. Sandra Richardson, the Inspirational Growth Coach from Rich Consulting Firm. And so we want to talk about how do you master salesmanship? Yeah, how do you become a master salesman? Because at all times, you are selling yourself, and you want to make sure that you're really good at it. And that brings us to Napoleon Hill's principle on a pleasing personality, because your personality is your greatest asset or it can be your greatest liability because it really embraces everything that you control, which is your mind, your body, and your soul. So how are you truly exhibiting those traits of a pleasing personality? So we're going to go through and discuss the 25 traits that Napoleon Hill has identified through his 20 years of research as a pleasing personality that will help you to master relationships, master sales, and master getting the things that you want out of life. And so, ladies, we have these 25 traits to look at, to consider, and it's really important that we take, you know, self-inventory, that we really look at ourselves through an honest eye, because when we can look at, you know, ourselves and see where our strengths are, where our weaknesses are, and then be able to make improvements where we need, then we'll succeed by doing that. And so that first trait of that pleasing personality, of course, is that positive mental attitude. And how important is that? And you ladies can talk to that trait, you know, as in relationships or dealings with individuals, you know, that you've encountered or worked with, and you know, how big of an impact does having a positive mental attitude, you know, make?
Absolutely, Havilah, and I think that this is a really important pleasing personality out of the 29 of them, but I think it's really important just to have that attitude of a smile, of being positive, and just knowing that you can influence other people through your energy and through how you're presenting yourself to others. I think it's also human of us to say that this is also hard. It's not always easy because we do have challenges in life that sometimes subconsciously we don't realize, but instead of having a positive mental attitude, the negative thoughts come in. So I think it's okay to say that it's not something that it just comes natural, but that's something that we work towards every single day. Something that I learned through the course of doing the nonprofit and just how I was raised, coming from a Colombian family, is that everything you do will reflect back on you. So my mom always taught us, going back to what Napoleon Hill talks about, is that you have two choices, and everything that you do will come back to you. So it's making a choice every day from the moment you wake up to the moment that you fall asleep that you're going to try your hardest to have that positive mental attitude. And so it will reflect in your personal life, in your relationship, in your professional life. And so I think it's so important to talk about this, to understand it, but also to implement it, not just when you go to work, but when you get out of work. So one thing that I've noticed is it's also the actions you take. So when you're in the car and there's a homeless person asking for a dollar, there's some people that will not ignore them. And sometimes it's just smiling at them and giving that extra change, giving that dollar, and that alone transmit the positive mental attitude to know and to reflect how blessed you are to go home to a warm place and have food on your table, and the other people at that moment may not have that. And so I think that this is one of the most important ones, and I also think this is one of the ones that most people forget to implement at every second of their lives, but also it's okay to say that it's something that is always a work in progress, to always refresh and remind yourself. And I think this is why it's great that this series and the book helps you to refresh the mind on how to do this and always implement this. Thank you.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, success is a matter of mindset. Because when you have the right mindset, then you are conditioning yourself for success consciousness, and then you'll create those things in your life. And a very good way to be able to build that is to be able to start with building your own self-esteem. And definitely some good tips around building your self-esteem so that you can have this positive mental attitude is stop comparing yourself to other people. You know, each and every person is an individual. They're unique, they're special, and they're different. Yes, we are connected in the whole of humanity, but everybody is different. So don't compare your accomplishments to somebody else's accomplishments or compare yourself to somebody else, because that's when you start to feel bad or have that negative self-talk. And definitely eliminating that altogether, about not putting yourself down, about looking for the positive, looking for the good that's there and focusing on that so that you can continue to grow those things and not speak negatively to yourself, and really being able to, like, have positive affirmations. Like, you can talk to yourself every day in a way that, you know what, I'm blessed. I'm disciplined, I'm focused, I'm beautiful, I'm successful, I'm creative, I'm strong. You know, saying these things to yourself on a daily basis is going to help you. Because I was one who suffered from, you know, low self-esteem and low self-worth. And you would think, you know, as a public, you know, career as I've had through, you know, television, radio, and even working with, like, high-level entrepreneurs and coaching, that, okay, you're Miss Personality, you have all of this confidence, and yet somehow on the inside, I would be talking to myself negatively. I would be, you know, downing myself, or, you know, with every interview that I would do, I would, you know, criticize and tear it apart and not really look at the things that were positive in it. And I could see it, the way that I would feel, you know, on a daily basis, it was, like, very low and it wasn't good, and that's not living. So it was not until I started, you know, applying these principles, using these affirmations, like, I would literally write on little post-it notes. And it's very much like being Mary Jane, you know, all post-it notes and stick it all over my wall, all of these positive affirmations. And at first, I didn't even believe them. But it's like when you condition your mind on a daily basis and you, and this is what you focus on and you constantly tell yourself, then it will come to the point where you will believe it, where you will live it, and where you will become it. So building that self-esteem, and that's where you're going to really flourish. It's going to help add to that positive mental attitude, and so that, and that's going to radiate from you. Like, I am a night and day different person than I was, you know, many years ago, and it is because of, you know, these principles that Napoleon Hill uses, especially that of this positive mental attitude. And so another one of those traits that he breaks down in those 25 characteristics is that of flexibility. So being able to be flexible throughout circumstances. So Anne, do you want to talk to this a little bit?
Oh, most definitely. You must have had my name right on the front of your mind there, because as I'm sitting here listening and thinking about the positive mental attitude and the fact that you've got to have a positive mental attitude to be flexible. And so I'll go back to the story that I shared about the exam, the contractor's exam that I had to pass for my business. I had to be flexible with a positive mental attitude again at home with my family, who was very encouraging. But it says that, you know, that the flexibility really allows you to be able to adapt yourself to quickly situations and circumstances that are changing. And sometimes emergencies will come without any kind of notice, and we have to make sure that we don't have a panic attack or any kind of temper tantrum, and see the good in being flexible. So like I shared about not passing the exam the first time, I actually missed it by a lot the very first time, but I knew that, so I was just taking it. I had to be flexible enough to be willing enough to say, you know what, I want to take it again. Took it again, I missed it by 2 points. Now, what do we do that demonstrates the flexibility? So for me, I started thinking, I said, now what else can I do while I'm waiting to pass the exam? What else can I study? And you talked about salesmanship and having pleasing personality in order to sell. So then I began to read a lot of books on selling while at the same time being flexible enough to still read my homework and do my other kinds of craft books that deal with my industry. So for me, Havila, and ladies that's on the line, flexibility, I think, is something that we must all have as a part of this process and the philosophy, and just being and having the kind of disposition that is harmonizing, if you will, with ourselves, with our environment, and also with all those around us, especially family and friends. Thank you.
Absolutely. And another one of those really important aspects or characteristics or traits to a pleasing personality is having a pleasing tone of voice, you know, in mm-hmm. conversations, especially when you're talking about, you know, sales, being able to, you know, add inflection in your voice, being able to, you know, express that enthusiasm or go, you know, deeper or talk slower. So it's that tone of voice is very important when it comes to communication, because communication is the key to, you know, really successful relationships. And this is one that I'm going to throw to Ms. Sandra, and it's that characteristic of that trait of tolerance and that having an open mind on all things, of all people, at all time, and refraining from those prejudices. So, Ms. Sandra, I would love for you to, you know, talk about this particular trait because it's such an important one.
Yeah. Thank you once again. Yeah, I must admit, this in my approach to actually master this has been a wonderful journey and continue to be one of the greatest qualities that I try to continue to build on, because it's important to actually win over whomever it is that you're trying to do to exhibit that pleasing personality. And when, as it relates to salesmanship, one of the things I learned from Napoleon Hill, the reading, is that you have to first sell yourself, whatever it is that you're trying to sell an individual. And if you can sell yourself first on that, then it will be a cinch to sell the other person, because now you've integrated all that needed to be integrated in that interaction within yourself first. You actually play it out. You see it. You already see it happening. It's like you play it out in your mind, like actually watching a movie. So you get to anticipate perhaps things that may be a challenge or something that may appear to be stumbling blocks or obstacles or whatever. You don't even see them that way. You see them as opportunities to grow and to implement what it is that you've already run through. You have ran this through your mind, and you played it out. But also, what I appreciated was what he said about what was in what kind of defines factors of that pleasing personality and that positive attitude. He said that it is one. It is defined as a confident, constructive, sure, practical, and forward-moving disposition of the mind over against any given set of circumstances. Now, that's powerful when you can put yourself in a position where you'll be able to handle or deal with successfully any given circumstances. That alone is so valuable. And obviously, it even takes care of some of the other principles. Fear, as one of them, to add to that. But me, myself, I've been able to do this. I've been able to apply this in my life. I've also had an experience similar to Ann in that when I...
And thank you so much, Ms. Sandra, for sharing that. And, you know, we're actually going to move on to that fifth principle. But a fifth trait that is so important to a pleasing personality, which is that of having a keen sense of humor. You know what? We can never take ourselves too seriously, because if we do, then we're missing one of the biggest joys of life and an opportunity for us to really, you know, live it up. It was so funny. I was out last week with my nieces and nephews, and we were taking a walk on the lake, and as we were looking down the hill, I was just like, you know what? And I have not done this since I was a little kid. I was like, let's roll down the hill. So we literally just laid out. We actually posted some videos of us doing it. It was like, no matter what station you are in life, no matter what it is that you've accomplished or done or who you are, what age you are, you can always, you know, have that sense of humor. Just have fun and really live your life up. Now, you are listening to International Mastermind Association's Blog Talk Radio special on Napoleon Hill's Your Right to Be Rich. We're talking about the 25 traits to a pleasing personality, and we talked about the first five traits, that positive mental attitude, that flexibility, having that pleasing tone of voice in conversations with individuals, and these are some of the keys to becoming a master salesman. Also, that tolerance and having that open mind to all things and all people, and then having that keen sense of humor. And if you want to get the other 20 of the traits and get some information about that, then go to www.internationalmasterminders.com for more information, or you can find that list on the International Mastermind Association's Facebook page. You can get the information right there as well. And on those 25 traits to a pleasing personality. And as we're going through this six-part series, we're so glad that you are joining us each week as we go through those 17 success principles that Napoleon Hill has outlined for you to be able to reach your ultimate wealth and those 12 riches of life. I want to thank our Mastermind Alliance guests, Ms. Ann McNeil, Sandra Richardson, and Hillary Vargas, for joining us for part two of this Think for Your Right to Be Rich series. And I encourage you all to join us next week for part three as we go through how do you develop leadership, the art of persuasion, and how to master indecision and procrastination. Yes, that'll be next week as you join us for the International Mastermind Association's Your Right to Be Rich series. I'm your host, Tavla Malone, and you have an amazing day. And remember, If you're not conditioning your mind every day, then someone else is. So take the action and make your dreams come true. You have an amazing day, and we'll see you next week.